Our scripture reading this morning comes from the book of 2 Samuel, chapter 7. 2 Samuel, chapter 7. We have been preaching through the books of 1 and 2 Samuel, and this morning we find ourselves at 2 Samuel, chapter 7, and be reading the verses 18 through 29. Verses 18 through the end of the chapter. Let us pay careful attention to the public reading of God's holy, infallible, and inerrant word. Then King David went in and sat before the Lord, and he said, "Who am I, O sovereign Lord? And what is my family that you have brought me this far? And as if this were not enough in your sight, O sovereign Lord, you have also spoken about the future of the house of your servant. Is this your usual way of dealing with man, O sovereign Lord? What more can David say to you? For you know your servant, O sovereign Lord. For the sake of your word and according to your will, you have done this great thing and have made it known to your servant. How great you are, O sovereign Lord! There is no one like you, and there is no God but you, as we have heard with our own ears. And who is like your people Israel, the one nation on earth that God went out to redeem as a people for himself, and to make a name for himself, and to perform great and awesome wonders by driving out nations and their gods from before your people, whom you redeemed from Egypt? You have established your people Israel as your very own forever, and you, O Lord, have become their God. And now, Lord God, keep forever the promise you have made concerning your servant and his house. Do as you promised, so that your name will be great forever. Then men will say, 'The Lord Almighty is God over Israel,' and the house of your servant David will be established before you. O Lord Almighty, God of Israel, you have revealed this to your servant, saying, 'I will build a house for you.' So your servant has found courage to offer you this prayer. O sovereign Lord, you are God. Your words are trustworthy, and you have promised these good things to your servant. Now be pleased to bless the house of your servant, that it may continue forever in your sight. For you, O sovereign Lord, have spoken, and with your blessing, the house of your servant will be blessed forever." Thus the reading of God's word as it comes to us from 2 Samuel chapter 7. As we look carefully at King David's prayer this morning, it may come clear to you that there is much repetition in this prayer. And whenever you look at a Hebrew text, a text that is originally written in Hebrew, the Hebrew writers will use repetition as a signal and a key for us to understand the meaning and the theme of a particular passage. This prayer of David has much repetition. In fact, one of the things you will notice is that 10 times David refers to the name of God. 10 times in his prayer, he refers to God in one of the three names that we have described often used in 2 Samuel. 7 of the times he uses the phrase, "O sovereign Lord," or "O Lord God," translated in some of your Bibles. This is the Hebrew word Yahweh, the name for the covenant God. He also uses 2 times the name the Lord Almighty, or Lord of Hosts, translated in some of your Bibles. In Hebrew, it's Lord Sabaoth. You see that in verse 26 and 27. 10 times the name of God used as David prays. 10 times David uses the language, your servant. 10 times the name of God, 10 times your servant. A connection is being made in our text between God and his servant. 8 of those times that David prays to his covenant God, sovereign Lord or Lord God, the language in the Hebrew indicates a personal relationship with God. It's like saying, as one commentator has said, David is praying, my God, oh my God, and what is this, my family, that you have brought me thus far? Verse 18. There's a connection being made by all of this repetition in our text between God and his servant David. But why then does David change the name of God that he uses in verse 26 and 27? Why not just stick with the same name, the name of the covenant God that he has used 8 other times in the passage? Why change to Lord Sabaoth, the Lord Almighty, or the Lord of hosts, as some of you have in your Bibles? Well, the answer to that question this morning is the key to understanding this passage. If you understand that and the reason that David does that, you will understand the main point of David's prayer, his prayer to God, his prayer of thanks and petition to God. You remember last week in the first half of this chapter, God has made a declaration to David. David is in his palace, and God has given him rest from all his enemies. David has conquered the land. This is a new era for the children of Israel. They have never had a king like David. They had Moses who led them out of Egypt. They had Joshua who led them into the land. They had the judges like Gideon and Samson who delivered them from their enemies. They had King Saul, whom God rejected for his unfaithfulness to God and his people. But now they have their king, King David, on the throne. This is one of the high points of the entire nation of Israel, the entire Old Testament period of Israel. God has given them the man after God's own heart. He is on their throne. David has put his enemies to defeat, and God has given him rest. And David sits in a palace of cedar. And so, as David gets ready to build the Lord a house, God speaks to Nathan and he tells Nathan, go tell David not to build me a temple or a house, because I am going to build David's house. David's household, David's descendants will be on the throne and his kingdom will endure forever. His throne established forever. And in David's prayer, especially in the first part of this prayer, David is giving thanks to God in humbleness for what God has said through Nathan the prophet. Who am I, O sovereign Lord? Verse 18. And what is my family that you have brought me thus far? How far has God brought David? From a shepherd boy all the way to King of Israel, with his capital in Jerusalem and rest from his enemies. That's how far God has brought David. And David is asking, who am I that you have done this for me? Verse 19. And as if this were not enough in your sight, O sovereign Lord, you have also spoken about the future of the house of your servant. Is this your usual way of dealing with man, O sovereign Lord? David is saying to God, is this how you usually deal with men? This great blessing that you have promised me, this blessing not only to be king of Israel, but a blessing forever through my household. You spoke through Nathan the prophet about the future of the house of your servant. Verse 20, what more can David say to you? For you know your servant, O sovereign Lord. For the sake of your word and according to your will, you have done this great thing and made it known to your servant. As David was being chosen amongst his brothers, Samuel had chosen the oldest and the tallest. God said, I choose David because I know his heart. God knows his servant, verse 20. David knows that God knows his servant in a way that no one else does. God knows that David loves God and seeks to obey God. And for the sake of God's word and according to his will, God has done this great thing and has told David through Nathan the prophet. David's prayer then bursts out in praise. Praise to the one unique God that he knows. Verse 22, how great you are, O sovereign Lord. There is no one like you, and there is no God like you. Why? As we have heard with our own ears. David believes and worships a God who speaks. This is not the idols and the stones and the wood idols that the images that the nations around them worship. The God of Israel is a God who speaks. He speaks to David. He speaks to his people. He is the one true God, the only God who exists, the only true God who speaks to his people. Verse 23, and who is like your people Israel? In David's prayer, after he gives thanks to God, he points out the uniqueness of God, the unique relationship that God has, as he is the true God. But not only is God unique, so are his people Israel. The one nation on earth that God went out to redeem as a people for himself and to make a name for himself and to perform great and awesome wonders by driving out nations and their gods from before your people, whom you redeemed from Egypt. God chose the Israelites out of all the nations of the earth to be God's people. God redeemed them from Pharaoh and from Egypt. God led them into the land of Canaan. God has brought them through great and awesome wonders to drive out the nations and the enemies of God, and has given them this land and this place to worship God, to make a name for himself through his people. Verse 23. In verse 24, David prays, you have established your people Israel as your very own forever. And you, O Lord, have become their great God. David has just heard from Nathan the prophet that his household will be established forever, that his kingdom will endure forever. David humbles himself before the Lord. He does not know why God would have chosen him. And as David prays, his thoughts go to the people, God's people who are his very own forever. Verse 25, and now, Lord God, keep forever. There's that word again. And now, Lord God, keep forever the promise you have made concerning your servant and his house. You have established your people Israel forever, verse 24. And now, Lord God, keep forever the promise you have made concerning your servant and his house. You have established your people forever. You have established your servant forever. Why? Verse 26. So that your great name will be forever. The God who is forever has established David's household forever so that his people, God's people, will be established forever. You see, there is a connection going on in our text between God and David. 10 times the name of God is used. 10 times David responds, "Your servant." A connection is being made between God and David, God's servant, that has never been made in Israel before. They have had Moses, they have had Joshua, they have had judges in the past, they had a bad king and King Saul. But now God has established his king, the son of David, David himself and David's household upon the throne. And his household is forever as God is forever. And through the David who is forever, Israel, God's people, will be forever. What will the men say? Verse 26. Then men will say, "The Lord Almighty is God over Israel." David, whose household is forever, God's servant, who serves the God who is forever, through David, Israel will be exalted forever. When they see Israel, they will say, "The Lord Almighty is God over Israel." Now wait. Remember at the beginning of the sermon? We asked, why does David change the name he uses for God? 8 times he says, "O sovereign Lord," or "Lord God." Now he uses the words, "The Lord Almighty, the warrior God." First, he uses the covenant name for God. Now he uses the warrior God. The Lord Almighty, the warrior God, is God over Israel. And when they see that David is on his throne, when they see God's people, they will know that the Lord Almighty is God over Israel. And the house of your servant David will be established before you. Do you see the connection that's being made here in our text and in the language that is used? God is establishing something in Israel that has not been established before for his people. He's had his people. The true God has led his people through servants that he has sent. But now they have a king. They have a king who has gone to war for them. Because the Lord Almighty, the warrior God, is with that king. And that king has brought rest from God's enemies for God's people. And now when people look at that kingdom and they see that king, they will say, "The Lord Almighty is God over Israel." And when David prays, he prays for his people. The God who is forever has saved his people who are forever through the king that he sent forever. The king whose household will be established forever. And the Lord Almighty, who is with David, will establish this because he is God over Israel God's people. When David prays this prayer, he recognizes that there's a lot more going on here than just his name. He recognizes what God has done for him. He recognizes that God will use him to establish a connection between God and his people. He recognizes that he will not live forever, that his son Solomon will not live forever. But in verse 14, when God gives his promise, God tells him, "I will be his father, and he will be my son." The son that God has promised, the son that God will accomplish this, the son who carries the name of the Lord Almighty, is David in the Old Testament, who foreshadows the son of David in the New Testament. He foreshadows the son of David, Jesus Christ, God's son, who comes into this world to deliver God's people, who comes into this world to take on Satan, to take on sin and temptation, to give his people rest. Rest from Satan's attacks. "Come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." This son of David will give his people rest from their enemies. This son of David, of David's eternal household, will accomplish salvation, and his kingdom and his throne will be established forever. And the God who is forever will establish his people who are forever through his king that is forever. And in John chapter 17, this warrior, this son of God, prays for his people as David prayed for his. John chapter 17, as Jesus prepares to go to the cross, he knows he's going to be arrested. He looks unto heaven, chapter 17, verse 1, and he prays, "Father, the time has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you." When David prays his prayer, he prays that God would glorify his house so that God's name would be glorified. Jesus prays the same. "For you granted him authority over all people, that he might give eternal life to all those you have given him. Now this is eternal life, that they may know you, that the one true God and Jesus Christ whom you sent. I have brought you glory on this earth by completing the work you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the world began." God equipped David to conquer the enemies of Israel, the enemies of God. David had accomplished the work that God gave him to do, and God was being glorified as David was seated on the throne in his capital city of Jerusalem. When Jesus prays, he tells God, "I have brought you glory on this earth by completing the work you gave me to do. Now glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the world began." And as Jesus continues his prayer, verse 20, Jesus prays for the people, for the believers, as David prayed. "My prayer is not for them alone," verse 20. "I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you." When David is praying, he's praying that the God that is forever would save his people that are forever through his king and that household that is established forever. They are one. They are in unity, is David's prayer. As my household is established, may your people be established. That's Jesus' prayer, verse 21. That all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory you gave me, that they may see, that may be as one as we are one. I and them and you and me. May they be brought to complete unity, to let the world know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. Father, I want those you have given me to be with me where I am and to see my glory, the glory you have given me because you loved me before the creation of the world. Righteous Father, though the world does not know you, I know you, and they know that you have sent me. I have made you known to them and will continue to make you known in order that the love you have for me may be in them and I myself may be in them. As David concludes his prayer, he prays the same way. He prays for his household. He prays and he recognizes through what he has already prayed earlier in the prayer that as God blesses him, God will bless his people. O Lord Almighty, verse 27, God of Israel, you have revealed this to your servant, saying, I will build a house for you. So your servant has found courage to offer you this prayer. Some people say, why does David need this courage? Because he's petitioning for God on behalf of his household, on behalf of his people. O sovereign Lord, you are God. Your words are trustworthy. You have promised these good things to your servant. Now be pleased to bless the house of your servant, that it may continue forever in your sight, for you, O sovereign Lord, have spoken, and with your blessing, the house of your servant will be blessed forever. David pleads for his household. He pleads for the promises of God to be true. When he prays for the promises of God, when he prays for the for his household, he prays for the people as Jesus prayed for you. In David's prayer, he recognizes that God is working through him to bring blessing to his people. David embodies what it means to be the Son of God. The Son of God came to this earth and gathered up his people unto himself. David recognized through the repetition of the name of God and his response as your servant, the sonship that God had given him, the sonship that God had promised in verse 14, I will be his father and he will be my son for my household, for me, for the future Redeemer of God's people in Jesus Christ. When you read David's prayer this morning, you're reading Jesus' prayer. Jesus' prayer which fulfilled David's prayer. Jesus' prayer which is for you. Because God sent his Son, Jesus Christ, as a father to a son was his relationship, to come to this earth as the warrior God, to conquer sin, to conquer Satan, so that you, his people, could have rest. And he went to that cross as one with the Father, as one with you, to pay for your sins, so that after his death and resurrection, he would go to heaven and be seated on his throne, which is forever. So that you, his people, who are one with him, would know that he came down to this earth to be like you, to deal with temptation like you, to go into the tomb, to die like you, so that he could rise to his throne in heaven forever and be victorious over sin and death like you, who belong to him forever. He sits enthroned on high so that you can be part of his kingdom, so that you can know he has accomplished all on your behalf, so that you live your life knowing that Jesus is in charge, that he has conquered all, that he has paid for your sins, that the God who is forever has sent his Son who is forever, so that his people can be saved and with him forever. Amen. Father in heaven, we thank you this morning for these words which come to us from 2 Samuel 7. And we recognize, O God, how David's prayer foreshadows the prayer of our Savior, Jesus Christ. We're thankful that he came down from heaven to be like us, to be victorious over sin for us. That the Son of God is connected not only with you, but with us as the Son of Man. We thankful, O God, that he came to die, that he paid for our sins, that he prayed for us and continues to pray and intercede for us. That no matter what we face in this life, we recognize that he sits on high, enthroned in heaven, victorious over all. That we can go to him and know that he's in charge and he's in control. That our hope is in him forever, because we are his people forever. That he has redeemed from Egypt, from slavery, forever. That our sins are washed away, and that his blood paid for it all, so that we can find rest for our souls. We thank you, Lord, for this great truth. We pray that as we reflect upon these things, we may experience and know your grace. We pray all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen.